The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them, even as you love me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me. They may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you. They know that you sent me. I made known to them your name. I now make it known that the love which you love me may be in them and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. You study comparative religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Sikhism, all the different religions of the world. There's only one religion that gives a positive meaning to suffering, and that is Catholicism. Even if you're driving your car from here, from Carson, Lincoln, heading toward Knott's Berry Farm, you're going to be driving past many churches, many, most of which are Christian churches or Protestant churches. And you notice that on the top of those churches, there's a cross. But there's a big difference between a Protestant cross and a Catholic cross. The Protestant cross does not have the corpus, or the body of Christ, nailed on it, usually. But if you look up above the altar, you can see the cross there, but you can see the body of Christ hanging from the cross. That's huge, huge difference. I know about you people, but a bare cross, plain cross, doesn't do anything to me. I know about you. But if you look at that cross, if I just look at that cross for about a minute, already tears well up in my eyes because I see someone on the cross. And the person on the cross is Jesus Christ, who suffered for me. He suffered for you. He suffered for the whole world. So the only religion that gives a positive meaning to suffering is Catholicism. So one of my messages today for you people is, we all have to suffer. Don't waste your suffering. We all suffer. And we don't believe in masochism or sadism. We don't believe in that. We don't. When you see other people suffer and rejoicing in that, that's sick. That's sick. Masochism, just suffer for the sake of suffering, that's sick too. Suffering has a purpose. And there's a common theme of the saint we celebrate today, as well as what St. Paul is going through, is we see suffering. Now I'm going to launch out maybe a theological opinion. But I believe this. Either we suffer red martyrdom or we suffer what's called white martyrdom in our life. Red martyrdom is what Justin Martyr suffered. There's a church in Anaheim, Justin Martyr. And Justin Martyr and his companions, they stood up for the Catholic faith against Rusticus, who was the Roman governor at that time. Justin was not going to back down. Justin was a convert to Catholicism, and he really studied his faith. He would have been the Scott Hahn or the Cardinal Newman of his time. I mean, he really knew his faith. And if you read through the second reading in the Office of Readings, this man knew his faith and he was not going to back down. And he knew he was going to suffer. And he knew he was going to suffer torture. He knew he was going to suffer martyrdom. But he knew that that suffering had meaning, had value. He understood that beyond the suffering that he was going to undergo, he was going to go to heaven. Suffering has meaning only in light of the Paschal mystery. Only light of the fact that Jesus suffered on the cross. He died. He shed his blood. But he went to heaven. And by going to heaven, he opens up the gates of heaven to all who want to be his followers. And hopefully that's you, hopefully that's me. Okay, Justin Martyr suffered and died quickly. Didn't take a long time to behead him. That would probably take, in most cases, a matter of a few seconds. Person that occurred to me that suffered a slow martyrdom was the saint that we have the statue over there. Not the altar boys, but rather right beyond them, there's some statues. And one is John Paul II. John Paul II suffered a slow martyrdom. What Pope Pius XII would call a white martyrdom. There is the red martyrdom, St. Justin. There's the white martyrdom. It's the person that suffers on a daily basis. St. John Paul II, we all lived during his pontificate. Most of you people here are older than 30, right? Some are even double that age, as in my case, okay? We have lived in the time of John Paul II. Look at those years, 2000 to 2005. Just looking at him. He's already getting close to 80, 79 years old, heading toward 80, and he was shot. I've often thought, if he were not shot, who knows, maybe he would live to be 100 years old, because he was very healthy. He was an athlete. He climbed the mountains. I mean, he was a healthy, as a young priest, or young pope, 58 years old, he looks like an athlete. But once he's shot, his health declines. He was shot in 1981. But the last 5 years of his life, you see him feeble. You see his hand trembling because of his problem with Parkinson's. You see him drooling. You see him when he's speaking with difficulty. All these sufferings, for me, was one of the most eloquent signs of holiness of John Paul II for the last 5 years of his life, in which he was suffering, in which he was offering up the suffering for the salvation of the Church and for the salvation of the whole world. Now, maybe very few of you have ever thought of that as an ingredient of the sanctity of John Paul II, but I think it's one of the key figures. One of the reasons why he became a priest was because of another saint, and that was Maximilian Kolbe. Maximilian Kolbe, who also suffered martyrdom. Maximilian Kolbe says you can divide the spiritual life of a saint into three stages. Try to memorize this. Three words: prayer, work, suffering. Prayer, work, suffering. Venerable Fulton Sheen says that every married person has three rings. Have you heard this? The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering. Those who are married, they suffer. When Saint Catherine of Siena said, "Lord, give me the greatest suffering," he said, "No." She said, "No, I've reserved that for the married people." It's true. But the beauty is, you understand, if you offer up your suffering, you can become great saints. That's the key. You don't understand that? Marriage is a Calvary. But if you offer up your suffering, then all the married people here in this church can become great saints. You have to learn how to unite your suffering to Jesus Christ. So that's the message today. The message today, hey, we all have to suffer. It can be physical suffering, it can be psychological suffering, it can be moral suffering, it can be economic suffering, it can be sufferings of doubts, fears, insecurities. There are tons of ways that we suffer. But the key is, we have to learn to unite our suffering to Christ on the cross, which is present in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So today we enter into the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Even though we have to suffer, let us find our refuge in the most Sacred Heart of Jesus, in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen.